Hey guys, welcome back to I Say A Lot Of Things. My name is Isaiah, and I have a lot of things to say about Andre Gomez and that horrific injury he suffered against Tottenham. It just basically overshadowed the game, didn't it? No one really was talking about the 1-1 scoreline and the effects that has on both Tottenham and Everton. The main story is Andre Gomez. What a horrific tackle. I feel so bad for the guy. My heart goes out to him. It's horrible what happened to him. Basically a freak injury after a tackle by Son, and was basically a retaliation tackle to leave one on him after he got inadvertently elbowed in the face by Gomez. Son goes in for the tackle, trips up Gomez, and his plant foot gets caught in an oncoming Serge Aurier. Ankle just rolls in a way it's not supposed to. And basically after that, no one wanted to play. It was such a horrific injury. And Son, you know, he was distraught after that. And it's been crazy with Everton recently with leg injuries like that. We've seen it happen so often recently. Brian Oviedo, Seamus Coleman, James McCarthy, Yannick Bolasie, now Andre Gomez. Long-term leg injuries are a common theme with Everton in the recent years. It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And for Andre Gomez, you know, this is a guy who came to Everton on the same day as Yerry Mina in a deadline deal last season on loan, basically to resurrect his career. It wasn't really going well for him in Barcelona. He wasn't the same player that he was when he played with Valencia. I think playing in Barcelona took a lot out of him. I don't know if he didn't fit the system well enough, but people were getting on his case because of all the high standards of Barcelona, telling how terrible he was. And I think it affected him mentally. He's spoken out about mental health and the issues he had while still in Barcelona, and came to Everton and was immediately embraced by the fans. During the season, when he finally made his debut and showed us what a great player he was someone very calm on the ball, travels well with the ball in the midfield, and adds, you know, yeah, adds a calmness to the midfield when he's on his day. Yeah, he has had some bad games, but you can tell, like, within the first few minutes of the game what kind of game he's going to have. But when he's on, he is one of our best and most important players at Everton Football Club. So, you know, during the loan season, it was easy for him to stay, and how much the fans embraced him, how much he helped, you know, the kids in the community, just doing little things that hug-a-thon really endeared himself to the fans. And it was basically towards the end of last season, it basically looked like it was a no-brainer that he was gonna stay. It just had to be hashed out with Barcelona in terms of the finances. But he was always going to stay, I believe. And we were supposed to kick on this year. Obviously, it hasn't been a great season. And for him to suffer that injury after everything that's happened to him, and how things have been looking up for him in his career, it's horrifying. And with injuries like this, we've seen with some players like Seamus Coleman, James McCarthy, they really don't come back to the levels they were before. Of course, there are some cases where I'm sure athletes have come back from leg injuries, but, you know, Andre Gomez is in his mid-20s. I think he's 26 now, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, you feel that someone that young can come back, but there's also that mental aspect of it, and it's tough. It really is tough to be able to know whether you can trust your leg again, especially the ankle. That part of the leg is tricky, and the way it hung off his leg was just... it's not made to point in that direction, let's just say it that way. So he's probably out for at least a year before he can finally make it to full strength. You know, the thing might heal before that, but then it's training, it's physical therapy, it's strengthening, it's getting to match fit. And again, like I said, the mental aspect is the most important part. So hopefully he can get on with it and come back and become a great player for us again. just sad that this season has just gone sideways so much. I even forgot to mention Jean-Philippe Gabamin, another leg, another one who's out with a leg injury. It happened in training too. And so both of our summer signings, since we got Andre Gomez permanently this past summer, both our midfield signings are out. Only Fabian Delph is the only one that's remained, and it's just been very, very unlucky with injuries. And Andre Gomez's injury basically overshadowed the game. There was a game of football played, and it does have some implication. I believe if Marco Silva lost the game to Tottenham, I believe he would have been sacked today. He wouldn't be the manager. The 1-1 scoreline gives him a little bit of a reprieve. And basically an understanding of from almost everybody that the circumstances were weird. It was a terrible game of football. The first half was just some of the worst football I've ever seen from both these teams. From a team like Tottenham and from a team like Everton, you expect some quality, especially from Spurs, even without Harry Kane. But 1-1 scoreline, a mistake by Iwobi. And of all people, it will be the former Arsenal man, passed the ball back, and it was basically a loose ball in between two players, and it was seized by Dele Alli, passed it to Son, gave it right back to Alli. Dele Alli cut across Jordan Pickford, slots it in, 1-0 to Tottenham, and it was just, of course, Cenk Tosun, credit to him, equalized in the 95th minute because of the stoppage time was plus 12 after the injury and all the VAR checks. I'll get the VAR in a second. But Cenk Tosun rescued a point for Everton, rescued Silva's job another day. I still think he's not the guy to lead us forward, Marco Silva. But, you know, I have to back him while he's here because he is the manager still. I don't think he has the tactical know-how to manage himself out of this situation. And he's basically on very, very thin ice. It could go sideways really, really quickly, and he's hanging on by a thread. But who knows? If there are some positive results that come our way, and you know something changes tactically, who knows? But yeah, 1-1 scoreline, marred by the injury and a lot of VAR controversy. The Premier League has some of the worst implementation of video-assisted referee that I've seen across all the competitions that have tried to implement it. MLS does it better, quite frankly, even though MLS referees are absolutely horrible. It's implemented well in the Champions League, and in the Premier League, I don't know what's going on. My biggest gripe with that is how come the referee, is the game managed by the referee, or is it managed by VAR? Is it used to overturn a call, or is it used to check the right call, or is it used to basically manage the game? I don't know. Because if it is basically a clarification tool to see whether calls got right or wrong, why doesn't the referee go to the monitor to check with his own eyes if it's not that clear? Why doesn't he just run to the side of the pitch, look at the video, see the angles that, you know, the people in the control room are looking at and make a decision for himself? He's like, oh, I missed this call because I saw it with my own eyes that this happened. Okay, then I'll make the call. What is going on? For 2.5 minutes, they were checking Dele Alli's handball, which I think was a handball, definitely a handball for a penalty for Everton. It took 2.5 minutes for that to be checked. And Martin Atkinson had a terrible game. Martin Atkinson, why didn't he go over to the monitor? He's just standing there in the pitch with his finger up in his ear, trying to listen to what people in the booth are saying. Why doesn't he go look? And why don't they tell him, hey, you better check this. Look at it with your own eyes. I think you might get a clear picture that this happened. Now they only touch it with his arm. What's going on? And this type of decisions, this type of things, I think is setting the Premier League back. Instead of something, you know, and something helping enhance the game, it's setting it back. It's a terrible product to watch with all these stoppages. And you have people in the crowd, you have people in the stands. not looking at the monitor, not seeing the replays. The replays are not being played. They don't even know what's being checked or what they're looking at. And they're just sitting there, you know, on their thumbs while while VAR is being checked without any, you know, without any explanation to them. It's a bad experience all throughout. It is ruining the game, at least the implementation of the Premier League. It is ruining the game, and it has to be reformed. I think there really has to be thorough training over how to use the system, how to implement it properly, and how to make it not disrupt the game so much like how it's happening in England. Like I said, the Champions League, I think, is one of the best implementations of the system. MLS does it pretty well, despite the horrible referees, but the Champions League, but the Premier League, it is absolutely horrible. It's shocking how much it has affected the game in a negative way. Who knows? We'll see what happens, how they're going to fix that in the future, and I hope essential steps are taken to fix that in the future, because if not, it's going to get just worse and fans are going to turn off from the product, and that is not something we want to see. So those are my thoughts on Everton this week. Andre Gomez, again, my heart goes out to you. Get well soon. See you back on the pitch next season, hopefully stronger and better than ever. Follow me on Instagram. What is my Instagram? LS4IAH. Follow me on Twitter. I say a lot pod. And these are my thoughts. See you next time.